Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University presents Education at Your Doorstep, a program of learning for everyone.
Hello listeners, we now bring you a lesson from English for UG second year students. The title is Religion in English Poetry. Sri T. Anjaneyulu will present the lesson.
Hello listeners, welcome to today's radio lesson on Religion in English Poetry. In this lesson, first, we shall discuss about the religion through ages. Second, we shall have a quick look at the religion represented the poem of William Blake and W.B. Yeats. Finally, examine the outlook towards the church and human values. Let us begin by talking about the implication of the word religion in relation to its poetic expression and the way it has been portrayed in English poetry from 16th century to the present age. According to James Joyce, literature is the eternal affirmation of man's spirit, whether it is faith in a particular religion, ideology, a song in praise of God or the Son of God, a faith in nature as a channel to divinity, or the task of vindicating the ways of God to man, two are the faith in creativity. Poetry of the religious spirit, therefore, is not restricted to the portrait of particular religion in poetry. Hence, our understanding of this class of poetry has to be based on the idea of communication of the values of the spirit and on the poet's mission to keep the spirit above matter, to show the former as eternal in his poetry. Some poems in English affirms steadfast faith in God and values, criticism of the degenerate church and values, love of God and conflict between faith and doubt, mythical elements, hope and faith in redemption, man, nature and God, and immortality and in creativity itself as an answer. Two works are of great significance during this period. They are Erasmus's Price of Folly, 1511, and Sir Thomas More's Utopia, 1516. Both were written in Latin but were speedily translated into all European languages. The Price of Folly is like a song of victory for the new learning which had driven away vice, ignorance, and superstition, the three foes of humanity. More's Utopia is a powerful and original study of social conditions. In this work, we find for the first time, as the foundation of civilized society, the great words liberty, fraternity, equality. More expresses wonder why, after 15 centuries of Christianity, his own land is so little civilized. Greater than either of these books in its influence upon the common people, in Tyndale's Translation of New Testaments, 1525, which fixed a standard of good English. In the Elizabethan period, the mind of man, freed from religious fear and persecution, turned to other forms the religious spirit, rather the moral virtues, as is witnessed in Edmund Spenser, The Fair Queen. In the 6 books completed out of the intended 24, the virtues celebrated and represented by the knights of king, authors are holiness, temperance, chastity, friendship, justice, and courtesy. The poem is allegorical. Spenser was an idealist. His mission was not to describe men as they are, as Chaucer did, but he thought they should be. His mission was to reform and not to amuse. In the literature of the Puritan period, among the transition poets, the Spenserian poet and metaphysicals are prominent for some of the religious views and attitudes expressed in their poetry. Among the Carlovian poets of the Puritan age, George Herbert has a strong appeal as a religious poet. As a poet of pure piety, it is said that he was the first in English poetry who spoke face to face with God. His poetry reflects the Puritan spiritual conviction in him. Herbert's chief work, The Temple, consists of over 150 short poems. suggested by the church, her holidays and ceremonials, and the experience of the Christian's life. First poem in it, The Church Porch, is a wonderful collection of condensed sermons and moral lessons. Among the remaining poems of the temple, one of the most suggestive is A Pilgrimage. The best known of all his poems is the one called The Pule, which generally appears under the name Rest or The Gifts of God. An ingenious poem of Albert is Paradise, in which rhyme is made by cutting off the first letter of a preceding word in its five stanzas. As regards John Donne, one of the greatest of English religious poets, he wrote religious poems in the latter part of his career. The best of his religious poetry is contained in the Holy Sonnets. The image of Christ as a savior, the victory over sin and death recurs. Donne's divine poetry is charged with moral intensity. John Milton, religious poet, refused to be bound by any creed or any church discipline. His mission as a poet was that of a seer who would discern and justify the ways of God to man, as in his Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. His commitment was to God only. To serve him, he would wait, without complaining of his blindness, as it expressed by him in the last line of his famous sonnet on his blindness, where he says, "They also serve who only stand and wait." In the 18th century poetry, Alexander Pope's Essay on Man, written in the four poetical epistles, was meant in Pope's own words to vindicate the ways of God to man. The vindication includes concern about man's relation with the universe, himself, society, and man's happiness. Samuel Johnson's The Vanity of Human Wishes, published in 1749, is a satire on man's unhappy life. The poem closes, however, on a hopeful note. If only man will trust in God, he will provide such good things for a man's the laws of heaven ordains. William Blake, the author of Songs of Innocence and Songs of Experience, was a dreamer with a powerful imagination. One of the other most memorable works of his prophetic poem, Milton. The famous words from its preface are frequently quoted. They express Blake's horror at the discreation of the English countryside by the Industrial Revolution, with its dark, satanic hills. His horror was more on account of the cruelty and oppression which went on inside them, for example, child labor. The expression in it, the Holy Lamb of God, the Countenance Divine, and Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem of the Revelation, stand for Christ. Among the romantics, Wordsworth, the high priest of nature, adds a mystic element to his philosophy of nature. It is his belief that in natural objects there is a reflection of the divine spirit. Nature appeals to the eye of man through his inner spirit. For Wordsworth, in short, nature must be spiritually discerned. In his Tintern Abbey, the spiritual appeal of man is expressed in almost every line. But the mystic conception of man is seen more clearly in his ode An Intimation of Immortality from Recollections of Early Childhood. In this splendid ode, Wordsworth adds to his spiritual interpretation of nature and man the alluring doctrine of pre-existence, which makes of human life a continuous immortal thing. Without end or beginning, the child comes straight from the creator of nature. The poets of the 18th and 19th centuries who had written some memorable religious poems are Cardinal Newman, Alfred Tennyson, Robert Browning, Leigh Hunt, James Stephens, John Masefield. The two poets who have had a great impact on religious poetry are G.M. Hopkins and Francis Thompson. Hopkins' poetry shows his deep religious spirit and strong faith in God. The Wreck of the Dunchland is an outstanding religious poem. The poem Hopkins considers is a masterpiece himself, however, is The Windhaver, which he is endowed with humanity and magnificence. The late 19th century poet Francis Thompson, who is well known for his poem The Horn of Heaven, takes the theme of the intimate presence of the divine in the lives of man in his poem. The Kingdom of God, in this poem, the moment from the condition of doubt to that assurance finds its most impassioned and intense expression. T.S. Eliot is a major poet of the 20th century. Among his most famous works are poems The Wasteland, 1922, and As Wednesday, 1930. In the poem The Hippopotamus, 1917, Eliot attacks the church in the most violent imaginary. It is an expression of his disgust of the native attitude of the most established religions. Another great poet of the modern period is W.B. Yeats, shows his religious concern. His poem The Second Coming is charged with the coming of new destructive God and reversal of Christian value. Blake is a mystic and visionary. His verse is a refreshingly simple in diction, but highly suggestive in the use of imaginary. He, as a child, has vision of God and the angels looking in at his window. To him, all nature was a vast spiritual symbolism, wherein he saw elves, fairies, devils, angels, all looking at him in friendship or enmity through the eyes of flowers and stars. The works of Blake's, The Poetical Sketches, published in 1783, is a collection of Blake's earliest poetry, much of it written in boyhood. Two later known volumes are Songs of Innocence and Songs of Experience, reflecting two widely different views of his human soul. His poem The Tiger, 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 burning bright in the forest of the night, what immortal hand or eye could frame the fearful symmetry. Let us look at another poet, W.B. Yeats. The deepest roots of this mysticism lie in the old traditions of Ireland. Its inspiration, no doubt, derives strong nourishment from the racy sap of the soil. Yeats' poetry became increasingly intellectual. His latter poetry is his best. The Second Coming is taken from a volume of 15 poems published in 1921, that professes the coming of a new destructive God and reversal of Christian values. These 8 composed lines present a terrified picture of the world situation as Yeats saw in 1919. When you look at the word gyre, this is a Greek word meaning circle of spiral. For Yeats, it is a symbol of the cyclical movements in his history. Spiritus Mundi, spirit of the world, the Stoics used this phrase for the vital force of the universe, but Yeats uses it for a kind of collective imagination similar to the racial subconscious described by psychologists. Let's sum up. In this survey of religion in poetry, you have come to know of the ways in which poets from the 16th century to the present portrayed and dramatized their religious outlook towards the church and human values. Some of them expressed their ardent faith in God as the creator and Christ as the savior, and some their concern for moral values, and some their spiritual vision of love and nature. The pleasure of reading great poetry results from appreciating the blend of content and the aesthetics in it.
We are listening to Sriti Anjaneelu on the topic Religion in English Poetry from English for UG second year students.
Education at your doorstep. That was a program of learning for everyone. Brought to you by Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University. So listeners, it's bye till our next radio lesson.